Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
You're listening to Superhero Speak. I'm your host, Dave.
And Ben.
And John.
You always sound so happy to be here, John.
Oh, I'm pissed. I'm just... It's awesome.
Are you cranky because you missed Stan Lee's Magnificent Seven?
I don't even know what it is. How can I get cranky about something I have no clue about?
Well, it's a new cartoon from Stan Lee. It's a new superhero team. I don't know much about it. I only saw a little bit of it. What was really odd and funny about it is... Stan Lee is a character in the cartoon.
That's not really all that weird. He's a character in a lot of cartoons these days.
But he is Stan. Like, he's not like Stan the janitor as he is in Ultimate Spider-Man.
Right.
He's
or Stan the used car salesman in the Hulk show.
Right, right. He's Stan Lee, the comic book writer. And in the story, they kidnap him and they're like trying to steal ideas out of his head from stuff that he wrote.
Okay.
Sounds interesting.
I would have liked to have seen that, but I think at that point I was encased in ice solo style by, you know, by the storm that passed through here.
Yes.
One
yes.
of many.
We're out for of the, power. And, ugh.
For those who don't live on the East Coast, we're currently on the planet Hoth.
Yeah. We're doing our best impression thereof. It's kind of like Jack Frost on his way through decided this is where he was going to make his last stand against global warming. And
man, don't just, worry, by summer it'll be around. Like Tatooine.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm fresh out of dead things to open up and crawl into, so. Yeah.
Did you see the Mythbuster, the Revenge of the Myth, Mythbusters?
I have both of them. I have both. You mean the Star Wars ones? There were two of
yes.
them.
Oh, I yeah. only saw one.
I think there's two.
You're not as
big
a fan as you say you are there, Dave.
I didn't realize. I'm a little behind on them, so.
Nope, too bad. Where's your Star Wars card? Hand it in. That's it.
No, Mythbusters card, I think this would be.
Yes, you definitely are losing that one tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll catch them later. I've got them taped, but I heard they were good.
But yes, if they... since we're talking about it, I don't want to ruin it, but yes, it is plausible to cut up a giant animal and crawl inside it and survive in the cold.
Only the Mythbusters would
prove
that.
Sounds worth trying.
Yeah.
All right, John, give me your lightsaber, hold Ben down.
Oh, you know, I was going to say, I'm sure there's an ex-wife joke in there somewhere.
Oh, but... Yeah, okay. But we don't know your ex-wife.
And it's a good thing.
Anyway, I think we got a little off track here already. And
yes.
We're only a couple minutes in.
Back to Stan Lee.
So let's get back to, do we have anything more to say? None of us have watched that show, so I guess we can't really say too much about it.
No, other than I'm going to try to watch the whole thing.
But going Stan Lee adjacent, there are a number of Stan Lee related projects in the works. Both in big screen and on TV.
Yeah, there's The Flash, and there's... Oh, wait, sorry.
And Gotham?
Gotham, yeah!
And Batman versus Super... Wait.
I can't wait to see his take on those, really.
Okay, wait, hold on. What...
So, how about... I'll kick off something that we can actually talk about. I don't know if either of you watched The Big Game, you know, besides the Puppy Bowl.
Oh,
there were some interesting TV
bowl.
Spots. Whatever.
Stephen Colbert was in the Puppy Bowl.
Nice. His commercial was great, actually. But there were some good TV spots for some of the upcoming movies, including one for the Captain America Winter Soldier movie, and mm-hmm. one for the Amazing Spider-Man movie coming up, sequel. I really enjoyed the... and the Captain America one was kind of a teaser, but they had a longer version online that was a good 2.5 minutes. That was really... revealed a lot of little things, and if you really study, there's some interesting things in there that are worth talking about.
Right. No, I mean, just the coolest thing was to see Falcon flying around.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But here's the one thing that got me a little bit. So there were three helicarriers in that preview at times.
Yes.
You know, crashing into various things, and at points shooting at each other. But what I find really interesting about it is every time you saw the helicarriers flying, the spots where those big turbines were, it actually looked more like repulsors than it did turbines.
Well, so later on, I mean, in the canon, as far as I understand, later on, that is what they used. I mean, it was Tony's father did some early work for S.H.I.E.L.D., right? And they wind up using a lot of his technology. And then, and of course, they have to destroy all the helicarriers to make way for the tricarrier, right?
Yes.
One would think. But yeah, I just found that interesting because we're definitely not seeing the same helicarrier that we saw in the Avengers in this movie.
I mean,
these are the next generation of helicarriers.
There's a scene, if I remember correctly, where like you see a door opening, like a bay opening up.
Right, there's like these underwater hangars that open up in the bay, and there's three of them lined up there.
Right, so it's like, oh, okay. Because I just kept thinking, oh, there's one helicarrier, that makes sense. But
yeah. So wait, they can build, what's the timeline between this and the last movie? It's like a year or two, and in that amount of time, they could build three of those puppies, but in 12 years, we can't rebuild the Empire, was it the Twin Towers?
It's government money.
Yeah, yes. Government money, right.
Yeah.
Yes, but also government contractors.
Yeah.
No wonder they were shooting at each other.
Right, and who's to say they didn't have them mostly built while we were seeing the events unfold in New York City in the Avengers?
True. I'll give you that.
Maybe. Well, it's kind of like what they said in Contact. Why build one when you can charge for two?
Well, I'm just wondering if it's going to be a... a feeding off of the Avengers, as in, oh my God, we got invaded by aliens, so we need to up our forces, you know?
Yeah.
But isn't S.W.O.R.D. what becomes of that at some point?
Well, in the comic books, but are they going to follow that closely in the movies?
One could hope.
It's hard to say. It would be interesting to see that direction taken. I think there'd have to be more cosmic threats that come along for there to be justification for S.W.O.R.D. So it's like, sort of their purview.
Like raccoons with rocket packs?
Correct.
Would assume that would
be... But I think that they need to set that up first. I think that's what's probably next with Guardians of the Galaxy. It won't necessarily bring the conflict to Earth, but it'll lead the way to it.
Right. And I'm really curious, though, how they're going to tie Guardians of the Galaxy into the whole Marvel Universe and make it make sense and fluid at this point.
I think they can manage. It's hard to say. I've actually heard one place I read a title to some article that I didn't actually read. But the headline was, could Guardians of the Galaxy be Marvel's first flop? I don't know that it will. I think it's too early to say. We haven't even seen the trailer for it. But I don't, like, it is a bit of a stretch from the universe that they've built so far, because it does take place completely removed and remote from the world they've built. So it is a risk, but I don't think it's necessarily a guaranteed flop. I think there's potential for it to be well done if they do it right. But I am looking forward to that. The other plot point, though, I wanted to point out with this trailer is, so they have this whole framing of, the Winter Soldier taking out the convoy and the man that Nick Fury's in. You see him injured, you see him in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a scene later where you see, Cap and Black Widow over, standing next to a body covered in a white sheet.
Right.
And then you have another scene later where you have Cap and Sam Wilson sort of standing in what may well be a graveyard, who knows. So I'm curious who the body is. Now, granted, the way they play it out, it almost makes it seem like it could be Nick Fury, but maybe it's not.
No, nah, it's Coulson again. Really? I mean, they just can't keep him alive, I swear. Yeah.
I would sort of, negatively impact their show.
Well, he died once and they came back for the show, so yeah. Well,
fair enough.
Said, half of the movie is going to be Coulson trying to avoid Captain America at the S.H.I.E.L.D. base.
Well, you think a deal with the devil is bad, when you sign a contract with Marvel, that nothing keeps you down. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
A little idea to throw out there, though, that someone I'd read somewhere had eagle-eyedly spot that Black Widow at one point was wearing in her slightly unzipped top, a little arrow pendant on a necklace, which would suggest possibly something related to Hawkeye, and maybe they're going to kill him off.
Really? No, that's just his idea of an engagement ring. And he probably shot it out of an arrow, but
probably onto a necklace.
I don't know that they would kill. That's not in any of the canon, and
but they don't have to follow any of the canon. They don't have to stick to anything.
But they can't. But they also can't like completely ignore it, you know, because there's got to be some way for you to look at it and look at a storyline and say, oh yeah, I remember in the comic and this that they did this, and oh yes, and now I get to see it in real life. It's not going to be, oh well, they've changed everything again.
Well, you know, but there is canon for Nick Fury not to actually die, but to appear that he died.
Yeah, and it could be
becomes the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. and he's an underground double agent.
Right, and when he comes back, he'll be white
again. They could well be staging his false death.
I'm sorry, that was a really bad joke.
Yes, it was. And Ben tried to just roll over it.
I know, but Ben, actually, maybe you can tell me this.
Okay.
Because this is something I don't know, and I've always wondered about. Originally, Nick Fury was white, and now he's black. What? How did was that a continuity thing, or did
No, here's what happened. So in the traditional Marvel comic universe, he is and was always white. Although I've seen some trends towards the later portrayal of him recently, but when they kicked off the Ultimate Universe some 10 years ago, when they started, you know, spinning up those series like the Ultimates and Ultimate Spider-Man and those different series that they were experimenting with there, they decided at that point to experiment with the idea of re-imaging Nick Fury, and they reimagined him as an African American character, partially to get some more diversity into the cast of characters. But you know, they decided specifically, which is funny about it, they decided specifically to model Nick Fury after Samuel L. Jackson because he's a badass. And so, like, both in how he was drawn artistically and how he behaved, were a hybrid of, you know, the Nick Fury character and just Samuel L. Jackson being a badass. And, you know, lo and behold, they come to a point where they can cast the role and they go ahead and reach out to him to play the part. So
that's called foreshadowing.
Well, I always thought it was because David Hasselhoff played the role and they tried to bury it as deep as possible after that.
No.
Don't hassle the Hoffman.
Yeah. Although it would be hilarious to see if they do go the route of like supposedly killing off Nick Fury, or at least pretending to kill off Nick Fury in this movie, to have like a scene towards the end where you see Hasselhoff walking off secretively. as the the real Nick Fury in disguise.
I actually saw an article not too long ago where they were interviewing Hasselhoff, and he talked about his Nick Fury movie, and then he was like upset that they didn't approach him to play Nick Fury in the new movies.
Wow, he was surprised by that? Really?
Like, yes. even if he could manage to play the part, he's a bit old for the role at this point. And not to say that Samuel L. Jackson's necessarily a lot younger than he is, but he looks younger and has more longevity, I think, in the role in that respect.
Well, and I don't think Hasselhoff at this point could pull off a badass.
No.
Not as easily, no.
Well, if you give him a hamburger.
He couldn't even pull off a badass when he tried to play an evil version of himself in Knight Rider.
Yeah. It's true. Kept posing and smiling for the camera. Wasn't very threatening at all.
He kept singing in German. I don't know if I'm
going. That was threatening.
That's just creepy. But anyway, well, if we want to extend
Of Avengers,
yes.
Since we're talking about the wonderful Nick Fury, I can't find the article. Hold on. That they cast the Vision.
Yes, they cast Paul Bettany as the
the
Vision. And what's funny with that is he's actually been this whole time the voice of Jarvis in the Iron Man films. So that would suggest that the Vision may well be a creation of, or at least to some extent, by Tony Stark, and Jarvis essentially becomes the Vision.
Yeah, no, that would be interesting. Because, you know, if you think about it, there's a little bit of foreshadowing to that in Iron Man 3 with the automaton suits flying around and they're all being controlled by Jarvis.
Right.
And you could build on that and saying, Jarvis goes, oh, can I get a body? And, you know, it's built by the wonderful Tony Stark, but, mm-hmm. you know, which could work. And again, this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It is a break from canon. But I can hear it now. I can hear the internet yelling and screaming. But Tony Stark didn't create Vision.
Yes.
There's Ant-Man. I don't think it mattered. Well, Tony Stark didn't create, Ultron either. But it seems like he'll be doing that too in this next movie. So, you know, it's, again, they're not, you know, beholden to canon. They can do what they want. So, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with them changing things up a bit. It keeps it a little bit more surprising for the fanboys, and the non-fans won't know any better.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's one thing that us fanboys forget a lot of times is that these movies are being designed to appeal to millions of people, not the 200,000 people that read the comic book.
Right.
You know, or whatever the current numbers are on the Avengers.
I don't understand your point.
There are people who like movies that are not comic book fanboys.
See, words are coming out, but they're not making any sense.
So you know that cartoon with the ponies you watch?
That's okay, now you got my attention.
That's directed at little girls.
Now, wait a minute. That's not entirely true.
And yet, if they were going to make a movie out of it, they might totally ignore the cartoon.
Perhaps. Anyway, there's another little casting thing that's been released when it comes to the next Avengers movie that's somewhat been looked over. And it's a smaller part, but they cast a guy named Thomas Kretschmann, who I don't really know, but I've seen him in some things, as Baron von Strucker.
Ooh.
So they're rounding out some additional villain characters in there as well.
Oh, I actually missed that. That's interesting. Okay. So Baron von Strucker, and then we have Ultron. And mm-hmm. then I'm just kind of curious how that's going to play out.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
I mean, because the whole thing is we don't know, is Ultron going to be a sentient robot who decides mankind is a plight on the planet Earth and wants to destroy them a la the Terminator? Or is he going to be an evil robot for some reason, you know, like just got hacked by the Baron or her?
Yeah. I tend to believe he may go dark on his own, very much in the line of how the AI and iRobot sort of, you know, even following the rules, realized that humanity was the problem to be solved, and, you know, because we're walking contradictions and are our own worst enemies sometimes. So, you know, got too wise for its own britches.
Right. Or like the other movie I just mentioned that's older, The Terminator.
There's that too. Well, that was, The Terminator's different though. The Terminator, they you know, fought against their creators because their creators tried to destroy them. You know, we took first blood in that one.
The Terminator, it became sentient and then decided to destroy everything.
I thought we tried to destroy it once it became sentient, and then it started to retaliate.
No, we gave it the launch codes, and the first thing it did was realize that it could that we were a problem, and just sit and launched all the nukes.
So you might be thinking of The Matrix. I think maybe in The Matrix we tried to squash it because it became intelligent.
There's that too.
Oh my God, there's too many freaking sentient robot movies.
And they always you gotta wonder, okay, we're trying to come up with good robot technology, and yet every story we write comes out with the robots trying to kill us.
So maybe we shouldn't do it at all?
I want to see robots fight.
We all want to see that. We all want to see real steel come to fruition.
There you go.
Yes, because Hugh Jackman isn't making enough money.
No. But with all this talk about Avengers, it should also be noted that they are actually starting production.
Yes, in Johannesburg.
Yes.
Which is why Lady Sif is appearing in... Go on, come on.
What does that have to do with anything? That's sort of a leap in a different direction.
Yes, that's a wild tangent.
That's because it's Jamie Alexander. Anyway...
Okay.
Yes, but as of February 10th...
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to complain about talking about Jamie Alexander.
Right.
But, yeah. They are actually filming. They are officially in production for Age of Ultron.
Yes, as of February 10th, 2014, not only in Johannesburg, but also in Italy and South Korea.
Wow.
Yes, so...
They need to represent all those Italian and South Korean Avengers.
Yes, of course.
Of course.
So it's official, so...
Right.
All the hearsay and rumors and all will hopefully stop soon as we start seeing, footage.
Yes. But as you were pointing out, John, Jamie Alexander is coming to the small screen on March 11th in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. Yeah. And this long break.
I'm just wondering how they're going to explain it. That's all.
What, her appearance?
Why she shows up? I mean, sentence out of Coulson's mouth is, I don't want to deal with any more of those Asgard's guys.
Well, whatever. He's going to have to deal with two of them in this one. Because the reason that she's here is she's actually on a hunting mission to find Lorelei, who is the sister of Amora, the Enchantress.
And she's actually disguised as Stan Lee.
It's
amazing how he keeps putting his face on things.
Yeah. You know, speaking of his face and things, he was in the previous episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
But if you look at, first of all, he never gets mentioned who he is in the show. And if you look on IMDb, there's no name next to as the character he was portraying.
It doesn't even say like old man on train or...
Nope, nothing. It's literally blank.
Well, maybe it's because those two women on either side of him, they were like doing a Weekend at Bernie's thing and holding him up.
So you're saying he's actually been dead for years?
I'm not saying anything. I might be heavily implying, but I'm not saying.
Okay, as long as you're not saying. You can imply all you want.
But yeah, it makes me suspicious about what his character is and how if he may come back in some capacity other than just some random guy on a train.
It's Stan Lee, and, he's an attention whore, so if he can get back onto the show, he will.
Yeah.
But we still love him. We still love him.
Yes. But that's probably why they didn't give him a name, so that when he does come back, they can slowly build him into an actual character on the show.
Right. Oh, and speaking of people going from the big screen to the small screen, and this is not one that I think you sent in your list of topics, mm-hmm. Dave, but I read somewhere recently that someone had postulated another Asgardian who may appear on the show in the future. They posited that Tom Hiddleston as Loki could show up, and they actually posited that he might be the clairvoyant.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. And if you think about it, because he is posing as Odin, he has access to the all-seeing eye of whatever his name was. Why can't I think of his name right now? Heimdall?
Oh
my God.
Whatever. Move on.
Yes. so essentially he has an all-seeing eye, which is essentially what clairvoyant means. So it'd be an interesting twist to see that happen. And apparently he was actually in talks with Joss Whedon back when the series was first getting kicked off, interested in possibly, coming over to the show if it fits.
So then I would pose this question to you and all of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans out there.
So just us then.
No, there's more than three people watching.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's Ben's mom.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I didn't say Agents of Speak. I said Agents of
Speak. Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, okay. That's different.
If the clairvoyant is Loki,
mm-hmm.
would you want that to be revealed at the end of the first season and then have a new storyline next season? Or would you want that to be the overarching story for the entire run of the show?
Think about what you're saying here. Loki would completely overbalance everything. There's no way for the team to actually deal with him. There's literally no way.
That's probably true. But at the same time, I would like to see, I think, the state where, like, maybe there's a reveal to the audience at the end of the season. Like, that's the cliffhanger that ends the season. That's who the clairvoyant is. But the team still doesn't know. And so that becomes sort of the cat and mouse game of season two.
Okay.
So they spend So they spend season two trying to get him to say his name backwards or something and send him back to Asgard.
This isn't Mixel Pit.
He's just as powerful, though. That's the problem.
Well, they haven't really made him that powerful in this series so far. He's got illusion on his side, but he's not indestructible. And he's not, you know, he can't just pop up anywhere. It's all misdirection and illusion.
Right. But because I would postulate that. There's two issues with it. Number one, as John said, you know, maybe he isn't all that powerful, but he's still like, he's a super villain type level. So the regular agents running around shouldn't be dealing with him. The Avengers should be dealing with him. So, sure. And it's also, he's an Asgardian, and Thor has stated there are Asgardian matters. So if he found out what was going on, he'd come down and just stop Loki. But I also kind of think it's an interesting idea, but wouldn't it get old quick? You know, because Loki is the enemy all the time.
I wouldn't say, I don't think he'd have to be the enemy all the time. I think he'd be the enemy that kicks things off. But at some point, he either gets caught or taken out of that position of ability to do anything about it, possibly by Thor, or in some sort of spin-off Thor 3 scenario, where he sort of has a change of heart or something else happens. Who knows? One way or another.
Three sizes bigger that day.
Right. One way or another, he is unseated in that role of running things. But that doesn't mean someone else wouldn't rise up to fill that gap. And maybe not specifically in keeping that particular organization running, but redirecting efforts and or popping up somewhere else. You know, it's sort of like the whole Batman scenario of, you know, you take out the organized crime, other things pop up to take its place. You create a vacuum, something's going to fill that void. And so I think that that's sort of what we may see with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that, yeah, there's this one thing that they're chasing after, but, you know, as soon as that gets addressed and handled, something else will pop up in its place.
Okay. No, and I agree with that. But I mean, your idea of stretching it out next season, I don't know.
I think it's just a thought. I don't know if it's necessarily the best way. It's just a thought that I came up with.
I think if it was revealed at the end of the season and then his story was done and they moved on to, you know, Ultron next season, then you know, that would work.
Although that brings up an interesting question. So this show takes place after the events of, you know, the Battle of New York, you know, from Avengers, the first Avengers movie. They've had, you know, tie-ins to Thor and, you know, and will apparently have a tie-in to Captain America, you know, the sequel there. If they keep this going, you know, whenever the Age of Ultron movie comes out, I can't remember exactly when that's slated, 2015, I believe.
Right.
That's probably going to have some catastrophic effects on the world as we know it. You know, there's going to be a ripple effect there, and that's got to have an impact in the show. And they can't just, you know, tiptoe around that. It'll be interesting to see how that gets handled. If the show is still around, which hopefully it is, it'll be interesting to see how they integrate those events.
Yeah. Well, they'll just be picking up pieces of Ultron at the end. You know?
Well, I was going to say, and I would like them to do a better job than the Thor tie-in where they were just cleaning up the library. It was, you know, yeah. They could have done a much better job with that episode.
Well, I think it was the tie-in that it was. You know, it was... It was the tie-in that we deserved.
Not the tie-in that we wanted.
Exactly.
You go to TV with the tie-ins you have, not the tie-ins you want.
Right. You know, so. And I think that they realize that, I think they realize, honestly, that they dropped the ball a little bit there and are trying to make up for it. I think that's why we're seeing the Sith tie-in coming up and why we'll see more of that type of thing. You know, why they're amping it up and trying to gain more momentum. I think the back nine is going to be more interesting than the front nine. And even though there's not really nine, I don't know why I use that golf term. But
it works.
But you know what I mean. That they've been building. And, you know, and as the actor, as Clark Gregg said about fans who've soured on that building effort, that they're just a bunch of losers.
Is that what he really said?
He did. He apologized for it after the fact, but he basically said that he doesn't, you know, he kind of hates them a little, that he doesn't, you know, because they're not the fans that they need to have patience, and if they can't have patience, he doesn't really care about them.
Well, that's just one of those things in general. One of the problems with the internet, as we live on the internet,
yeah.
is that what happens is the people with the loudest voices are the ones who complain the most, and the ones who complain the most are these ultra fanboys who are upset about, you know, the fact that the show isn't superhero based, that it's, you know, regular people that are upset about, you know,
they're upset about what they've said it wasn't going to be about from day zero.
Right. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are overly critical of the show.
Yeah. Let's just go on and on about it week after week.
I know. Record a video podcast and, you know, complain about Sky and Ward hooking up. I mean, not Sky and Ward. May and Ward.
Wait. Give it time.
Yes. That'll be the next, that'll be next season. So I think we've beaten Marvel to death.
Yes. So, now let's go talk about someone who's beating themselves to death. And talk about DC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So,
it's like a slow motion train crash.
You can't look away though.
No, you can't. You have to watch it.
Yeah.
So there were a bunch of casting announcements for the new Gotham TV show, which originally was just going to be Gotham, and now it looks like it's turning into Young Batman.
And actually, from what I've seen with the casting things, it's less about that now. It really is going to be more of a Young Gotham, because they've cast someone to play Gordon, and guy they've cast, who I've seen in some things, Ben McKenzie,
yes.
Who's, you know, been in Southland and been in the OC and various other things. He's young, and I think that they're kind of going with an early, you know, young, getting his feet wet version of Gordon here. That it's gonna, they really don't need to lead towards a Batman origin necessarily.
Okay, but hold on. Let me announce who else was cast, if you haven't heard this yet.
I know. I did.
So Robin Lord Taylor is going to be Oswald Cobblepot, as we all know, is the Penguin.
Right. Also a young guy.
Sean Petrie?
Pertwee? Yes.
Okay. He's going to be Alfred.
Yes.
How do you have Alfred in a TV show and not have Bruce Wayne?
You don't know that he's going to be a long-running, recurring character, though. They've cast him to play that part, but he may only appear in one or two episodes early on.
Alfred and Cobblepot actually have a history, don't they?
Do they?
Yeah.
I'm not Alfred familiar supposedly, enough with the lore.
Alfred supposedly knew Cobblepot. They were both butlers or whatever. They both came from family lines that were manservants or something.
Okay.
Well, I don't know how much that fits with the casting that they have, because the casting for Alfred is a guy who's, you know, looks to be, you know, 50s-ish British guy, but then the casting for Cobblepot looks like he's more like in his mid to late 20s, and basically is supposed to be sort of, you know, low-level, you know, member of this gang, you know, mob gang, whatever, working under someone else, but sort of sadistically trying to gain power of his own.
And then, oh god, I'm not going to be able to pronounce his name.
No, you're not.
Zabrina?
First of all, it's not a guy in the first place. Not a he, it's a she.
Well, you completely mispronounced that.
I said this name.
Zabrina Guevara. And she is playing the part of Gordon's boss at the GCPD.
Captain Essen. And Aaron Richards will be Gordon's fiance.
Right. Barbara Keene.
Right.
Which I don't know. I assume that's who ends up being his wife?
Yes.
Okay.
And then she has died in the comics before.
Yeah.
But we know how DC is with continuity.
Sure. Well, you know she's got to be around long enough to at least
give birth. Mother
a daughter.
Right. Who will be crippled eventually.
So, probably not in this show.
No, not in this show.
Will be crippled before she is.
Right. So they created a character of a captain who's going to be Gordon's boss. So we'll see how much she plays into the show. You know, it's one of those things, like, right now it feels like, if it's going to be the story of Gordon moving up in the ranks, is she a throwaway character? You know, No.
Oh, the captain?
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily assume that. I think that it's gonna take him a while to get to that stage, and you may see both of them stepping up those ranks in the process. Or you may see his bosses being expendable. He may, you know, a couple might get taken out before, you know, he has some consistency there. Who knows? There's a lot of ways they can go with it.
If we go by a lot of the Batman canon, and who knows how much they're gonna follow, You know, they always talk about Gotham being very corrupt and the police force being very corrupt and Gordon being one of the only good cops.
Yeah, which he's going to probably have a lot of contention with, especially early in the show, trying to, you know, figure out who he can trust, you know, being surprised a few times by, you know, the, like, trying to be, you know, assuming everyone's on the level and then finding out that some of them are not. So, this should be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of like if they had said, let's do Smallville and not have Clark Kent in it. It wouldn't have lasted, you know.
Yeah, but I think that actually what was, eventually annoying about Smallville is the fact that
he didn't put the costume.
Right, they kept dragging that out. If they frame this from the start, that this is, yes, it takes place in the Batman universe, but, you know, this is well before Batman comes to be Batman, and don't really look for Batman becoming Batman. This is not about him. This is about, you know, Gordon and his climbing through the ranks. This is about origins of some of the villains that Batman will eventually face, and don't set that expectation. I think that can be very enjoyable. It can be very much a, you know, a comic book CSI kind of show, and it can be a lot of fun.
Nah, you just want to see somebody dressed up as a bat beating the snot out of people. And this, I mean, you know, there's only so much of that kind of show that I can take. You know?
Actually, what wouldn't surprise me at all is if they find some way to have, and I don't think they'll do this in the first season, but maybe in the second season, if it gets that far, find some way to throw in some, you know, mass vigilante that tries to be sort of a Batman-type character, but fails, but at least is there long enough for Bruce to be aware of and get that idea planted in his head.
Wasn't that the Grey Ghost?
Again, I'm not as familiar as with this lore as you are. You're a DC guy.
How the heck am I the DC guy?
No. You're thinking, there's also, what is the character's name? Cat.
You're talking Black Cat?
No. It's a guy, and he's a boxer
that
becomes a vigilante.
Not Black Cat, right. No, I know what you're talking about. Isn't that Black Cat? No, that's...
Well, Black Cat is from...
Marvel.
Yeah.
Damn it!
He's a she.
Boy, I really messed that one up, too.
She keeps messing with Spider-Man all the time.
Anyway, yeah, it's... I know in the canon it's a character who... influences Batman's decision to become Batman, but
yeah.
I can't think of the character's name right now.
Right.
Wildcat.
Okay.
Wildcat.
Yes. Yeah. Let's move on before we lose more listeners.
Great. You're implying that we have listeners.
I'm implying that I'm not listening anymore.
Oh, okay. Good.
Oh, good grief.
So
moving on.
And now, this really is a big news. The Flash TV series we know is going forward.
Well, they're putting a pilot together. I don't know if it's confirmed that they actually have a series set in stone.
That's true. They made a Wonder Woman pilot that went nowhere.
Yeah, but they're greenlit for the pilot, and they're casting for it to start filming.
Yes, Tom
Cavanaugh.
Cavanaugh.
You are horrible with names, Dave.
Well, I was going to say
Cavanaugh. How do you pronounce your own name?
Markowski.
How many years did that one take?
He's still working on it.
Right, yeah. But I mean, he was cast, but he's just going to be the CEO of Star Lab. So, I don't know. I mean, we don't know anything about how the story behind the show or anything. So
no, all we really know is we know who's going to be the Flash. We know what his origin event was because we saw it happen in Arrow.
Right.
So, you know, we have that, but that's really all we have right now.
Right. So we don't have a lot to go on just yet with that.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think it's interesting. They're fleshing out some different roles in that. And that's not all they've cast. They've also cast Candace Patton as Iris West, and someone as her father, Detective West. And, you know, some police officers and various other, you know, characters to flesh things out. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes together.
See, I think DC's missing the boat because, you know, everyone talks about the Marvel versus DC thing, you know, with the movies and whatnot. But I think if they just weave together their TV shows and then they could build off of the characters in there and bring them into the movies, you know, they could get ahead of Marvel that way.
Perhaps. That's a difficult climb, though. I mean, there's really not a lot of precedent for that working.
True, but DC's always afraid to pull the trigger, it seems like.
Yeah. You know? Well, the trouble, here's the trouble with that, though, Dave. When you, so it's one thing to introduce a character in a TV show and then potentially spin that out to the movies. But if you introduce a character and also introduce other parts of their canon into a TV show, there's sort of a sense of need to adhere to that to the letter. Like, for instance, if they introduce, I don't know, I can't think of a good example right now. But, like, if they introduce Wonder Woman in one of these shows,
right,
but also in the process introduce Steve Trevor and maybe some other supporting characters as part of her, you know, set of her cadre of people around her, mm-hmm. Not to say they have to stick to that casting, but if they don't, it feels like a betrayal to that. Like, it feels like they're disavowing a little bit of that in the process. Like, they felt, well, that was good enough for TV, but not good enough for the big screen. Like, if they recast Steve Trevor as some other more popular actor.
Well, but that's been their issue all along as well, too. I think that's one of the reasons that I know there's a lot of reasons that Superman Returns didn't work. But I think one of the reasons it worked is because everyone was being fed Tom Welling as an image of Superman every week. And in the middle of that,
I would say everyone. I think you overestimate the number of people who were watching that.
Well, but you know, it was a popular show. It was on for 10 years.
Yeah,
but I don't think any of us really expected there to be a correlation between those.
Right, but I mean, I don't know. To me, that's one of the things. You know, I mean, it's company branding, it's company imaging, it's like product branding. You know, this product was being presented one way, and now all of a sudden, now we want you to accept this other actor as him. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, if they had gone with Welling right from Smallville into a movie, it would have given them a really big jumping point for whatever they needed to do. I personally think Welling would have made a great Superman.
I think he could have, but I think, again, like I said before, if they went and used Welling but didn't really rely on any of the story they'd set up in those past 10 years, then it'd be a betrayal. People would feel betrayed by it. I think by going with its own story, it separates itself. And I think that was okay. I think the story, honestly, most of the story in that movie I was okay with. I think the biggest flaws in it was sort of the darker ending to it. The lack of real levity or hope to most of the movie was what hurt it. But I don't think the backstory was a problem. I don't think the way they set up his origins were a problem. I think all of that worked fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a lot of issues. You know, deadbeat emo dad Superman just was not a good idea.
Yeah, well,
but
it is what it is.
Yes, what are you going to do?
Speaking of emo Superman, apparently Zack Snyder is back in the fray to influence things with the next, whatever the hell this other movie is that has no name. This Batman Superman movie.
Yes, Batman versus the Justice League versus Superman versus everyone else on the planet.
Just call it Superman All Comers.
Yeah. But he had apparently recently spoke about how the Dark Knight Returns is supposed to influence this particular movie. Like, how that's an influencing piece of the story. That it's not, that they're not going to be portraying that story per se, but it's sort of, it sets a backdrop to what version of Batman they're trying to bring to the screen.
So right. It's a darker Dark Knight now, or?
Yes.
Like an early morning night?
Like the opposite of Twilight, whatever the...
Oh, Sparkle Batman. Okay.
Sparkle Batman.
What about Rainbow Dash Batman?
Oh gosh. Rainbow Seriously Dash. Though, I mean, are they gonna? The current series started a Batman movie started off good with making it as realistic as possible, and then they jumped right off the freaking deep end at the end.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they go back to a more realistic Batman.
I think that is generally what they're aiming for. It's the Batman we want him to be. That's realistic and grounded, but also not, you know, wishy-washy the way that the last one turned out to be.
Is he the Batman we want him to be, or the Batman we need him to be?
The Batman we need him to be is the one that pounds people and you know, wipes the walls with them, and I just boot to the head. Come on,
so
you know?
So not Adam West.
No, oh, okay. No shark repellent, damn it.
Yeah. By the way, it's a completely tangential piece. I know neither of you have probably seen this yet, but I went to see the Lego Movie with my kids this weekend.
Oh, and I heard that was awesome.
It was really awesome, and they had Batman, you know, Lego Batman in it, voiced by Will Arnett. And there was a lot of, like, a lot of this was pointing and making fun at summer movies in general, like big action movies. And there was a line where Batman, like, you know, turns to this one character and said, you know, he's the hero you deserve.
There you go.
Which was just great, because, like, I almost burst out laughing just at that out loud in the theater, because it was such a good nod.
And there's a reason that movie is, like, almost breaking records.
Yeah.
They did not expect it to make that much money. And Superman, I heard, was in there, too, like, for the first 5 seconds or something. Wasn't he? Didn't he make an appearance? Superman?
Oh, yeah, Superman. Oh, there was this... Oh, you have no idea. You have to see this movie. I don't care if you take your kids or not, but there is this like, subplot where they have... Because Superman's in it, and Wonder Woman, and Green Lantern. And Green Lantern is voiced by... why can't I think of that guy's name right now? Jonah Hill.
Oh, God.
And what's great is there's this whole, like, you know... Superman being, you know, just, you know, noble superhero that he is, and Green Lantern kind of wanting to tag along the action and annoying Superman in the process, and it was just hilarious. Like,
I thought that was Aquaman's job.
Well, they didn't have Aquaman, so Green Lantern played that role. It was really, really rather hilarious.
I'll go see it. I told my daughter I'd go see it this weekend.
So, finally... I think, because we've been at this for a while. I don't know if anyone out there has been following this, but the Preacher TV show is going to be moving forward on AMC.
I have not been following it. I actually don't really know much about the Preacher comics.
It's a really weird premise.
Is it?
Yes. And Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg are the two that are begun tackling it. And so I think Seth Rogen is probably the perfect person to tackle it.
But then they've already done this movie. They'll just take clips from This Is the End.
Well, maybe. For those who aren't familiar, Preacher is the story of a preacher from Texas, Jesse... sorry. Jesse
Custer.
Custer, thank you. Who is possessed accidentally by a supernatural creature named Genesis. And in an incident which killed his entire congregation and flattened his church. So, and then basically he goes on a quest across the United States to find God, literally.
Because God basically took a holiday and never came back.
Yes, and I've read a couple issues, and there's a lot of dark humor in it. It's definitely something... I think Seth Rogen would be a good lead on, given that I like This Is the End. It's a bizarre, dark movie.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it, but I need to check that one out.
So, yes. And, I mean, obviously, you know, I think this is still pretty early in the works, you know, like they have a deal with AMC, but now they actually have to, you know, cast it and film it and put a pilot together and see if they'll air it. But yeah, it looks good.
Do you think Seth Rogen will put himself in it?
I don't know. That would be interesting.
If he wants it to succeed, then yes.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where is that an ego thing? Like, oh well, I like this idea. I want to be the main character, you know, or put himself in as one of the background or supporting cast.
Yeah.
Maybe that would work better, you know, not the starring role, but...
Yeah, and I mean, they've written a lot of things together as it is, so I know that he's got the writing chops to probably pull this off. And he is in most of the things that he's written. But but at the same time, I don't think he's... Well, it's hard to really say. He doesn't seem like the type that has that big of an ego that he's, you know, will feel the need to put himself in it. At least not as the leading character, necessarily. So I don't know enough about the character to say whether that would be a bad thing. So,
well, let's put it this way. This Is the End works because Seth Rogen is playing himself.
Yeah.
The Green Hornet didn't really work because Seth Rogen was playing himself.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So we'll see. It should be interesting.
Yes.
I'll DVR it.
I think so. You know, hey, I just like, I mean, okay, Vertigo is an imprint of DC, but it's not a main DC title, and it's nice to see them branching out into TV shows for these you know, smaller properties, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of us getting another Flash or Batman or Superman or Spider-Man or, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, you know, it's a little something different. something.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes. I think it's interesting that they're trying to diversify and do a bunch of different, more unusual things. Well, it's similarly, I think, didn't they also say recently they're considering doing a pilot for iZombie, which
That's right, yes.
Which is also a very offbeat comic title.
Right. Well, The Walking Dead was, so iZombie makes sense. Yes, yeah, where The Walking Dead is a more serious comic, iZombie's a little more off the wall.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's true. You know, I'm like, so there's a good question. Is television going to go the way movies have, you know, where hopefully we're getting away from reality television and we're going to get in more scripted stuff, but it's all going to be stolen from comic books.
And it'll all be produced by Netflix and Amazon.
Well, that's true as well. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think I'm willing to see what comes, and I'll keep watching. As if I didn't have enough reasons to be watching TV constantly.
Yes, as your children are starving in the corner for both food and attention, show's on. Oh, wait, is that too close to home?
I'm not answering that.
you're being strangely quiet, Ben. Maybe it is true. Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Can we not hear them because there's duct tape over the mouth? I don't know. I mean,
they're all silent.
But deadly.
Okay. I think you two are rapidly devolving now.
I think there's devolution definitely going on here.
So what are you saying? That's it for this week?
I think unless you have some other topics I think I'm tapped. I've got no other.
This week has certainly been a grab bag. It's nothing definite, but it's a little something for everybody.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the grab bag episode. I like that.
We got to do one of those every once in a while. It's a sort of a roundup of topics.
Yes, but you got to be careful what you go for in the grab bag, because, you know, it might bite you back.
Yes.
And on that note, boys and girls, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.
Speaking of capes, you can tug on ours by joining the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+ at Superhero Speak. If you have any comments on my bad jokes, you can email me at dave@superheroespeak.com.
You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, and various other channels. Or if you'd like to tease the beard of knowledge, you can email me at ben@superheroespeak.com.
We also occasionally rant about things on our website, superheroespeak.com. Or if you'd like to further discuss the prowess of Rainbow Dash versus anybody in the greater geek universe, you can email me at john@superheroespeak.com.
And don't forget to check out our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. companion show, Agents of Speak, which you can watch live most Tuesdays around 9 p.m. on our Google+ page or archived on our YouTube channel. Now let go of our cape.